This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, we have a new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, who was elected by the Dáil to be our new Taoiseach at the beginning of the week. He's already up and running. He's been to Brussels and he generally has been on the move. He's known as the TikTok Taoiseach. I'm not quite sure who christened him that. It could be our guest, Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of independent newspapers, or indeed it could have been someone in the Irish Times. Skepticism has been expressed about the substance of Simon Harris, but nobody doubts that he has the energy. And it's a pleasure to welcome Fionnán Sheehan to talk about the man, because Fionnán knows that territory in Leinster House as good as anyone ever did. Fionnán, the youngest ever Taoiseach, 37, known for talking quickly and moving fast, and renowned for his energy. Does it all amount to anything?
Yeah, that's what we'll find out. I mean, somebody said to me earlier on in the week, Simon Harris, is he the dog who kept chasing the car down the road, and then when he got hold of the car, he didn't know what to do with it? So we'll soon find out over the coming weeks. Did he have an actual plan beyond getting to power, and does he know how to exercise power? The opening few days, we've seen there is quite clearly there was a strategy around the cabinet reshuffle. It was minimal. He didn't go for anything dramatic there. He had his two vacancies. Radker left, then Coveney got the hint and left. That allowed him to freshen things up and not have anybody there who was a minister since 2011. And he brought in Peter Burke and Patrick O'Donovan, two experienced junior ministers, both from outside the Dublin and commuter belt. So, you know, there's a symbolic significance attached to that. Made some changes around the junior ministers, promoted three new TDs to junior ministers, because basically there is nobody else left within Fine Gael to promote at this stage. There's only two TDs who are left in the party now that were not ministers at any point. And so basically he was left with those. And then we saw he basically moved from there towards hitting the international stage. So he's on the phone the other day to the likes of Rishi Sunak, Vladimir Zelensky, avoiding the Dáil chamber. He heads to Brussels yesterday, meetings in the parliament and the commission. And then he's back today meeting Pedro Sanchez, the Spanish prime minister. So, you know, we're seeing that, you know, he's decided international statesman is where he needs to brush up his CV a bit, because that's been lacking up until now. But, you know, we're waiting to see. I mean, what are his views on international affairs? We've discussed, and lots of people discussed this previously, he's a bit of a blank canvas in terms of the EU. What exactly is his ideological position on the European Union? He's not Leo Varadkar. He's not a guy who was obsessed with European affairs since he was a teenager like Leo Varadkar was. He's not John Bruton, who was passionate about Europe or Gareth Short. He's not Enda Kenny, who had vast experience on the European stage because he had attended EPP meetings over the course of a decade as Fine Gael leader in opposition. So we don't really know where he stands on a lot of these issues.
Now, there was one decision, and it concerned Helen McAtee, the Minister for Justice. Her late father was a renowned and revered member of Fine Gael. They are described, the family, as Fine Gael royalty. She has perhaps not distinguished herself, at least in recent times, in justice. And it was thought, I think you and the Irish Times, both you personally and your newspaper, questioned whether he would move Helen McAtee from justice. And I think the question there was, did he have the nerve to do this? He didn't do it. Is that significant? And there's one other thing, Fionnán. In his speech to the party, when he became party leader at Ard Fhéidh last weekend, I noticed, I haven't seen much written about it, as a young person in particular, a young, relatively young Taoiseach, he didn't mention climate change at all, which I thought was extraordinary.
I think he touched on it. He actually took out a specific line on climate change. He definitely edited it back a wee bit. Sometimes people add sentences to their speeches. In his case, he seemed to remove a specific line. So he did reference climate change, but didn't go into any great detail beyond that. So that was certainly noteworthy. And he did talk about a climate emergency and so on. But it was significant is that it's the contradictory position that he basically adopted. On the one hand, he started talking about farming is fierce important. We're the party of farmers and agriculture in rural Ireland. We're going to extend the nitrates derogation and we're going to give farmers every support and so on and so forth. And you're kind of going, okay, but what exactly are you doing here to recognize that farming is a big element of climate action? Yeah. And he didn't really go for any tough stance there in terms of trying to say, well, listen, hard decisions have to be taken here, lads. So that'll be one that'll be watched. There was nothing that he said that will directly clash with the Green Party, but certainly it doesn't send a signal that he is that he is as climate action focused as perhaps Leo Varadkar was. To any degree at all. And yeah, it's a signal that he is taking on board the backlash within the party against the climate action agenda versus agriculture. So that's one to watch. Where does that go? I mean, ultimately, he's not in charge of the agriculture portfolio. He's not in charge of the climate action portfolio. He is the Taoiseach, though, and he sets a tone.
And Helen McAtee?
He bottled it.
Yeah, I saw that phrase that you used, and I didn't like to raise it.
Yeah, well, he did. I mean, there was an appetite within his own party for a change there. He has been banging on about how law and order is a core value of Fine Gael, and he's talking about tougher sentences and sharpening up immigration and so on. And you're looking at it going, okay, you're focusing on this area, but you're leaving, there's an inherent criticism in what you're saying there, and yet you're leaving the minister in place who has been in charge of that area for the last 4 years. And it would appear that he did toy with the idea a couple of weeks back as he took over as Fine Gael leader, whether he would change Helen McAtee. Then, you know, I think people prevailed upon him to not do so. Particularly Francis Fitzgerald, who's a foreign minister for justice, did the argument. There was a number of arguments put to him by Francis Fitzgerald and by others within the party, such as it'll take somebody new a long time to bed in. It's a wide-ranging brief. You don't need to be changing too many things. You've already got two people in place. There's only a year left, right up to you will be giving a victory to the far right and the far left if you remove Helen McAtee. So don't do it. And ultimately, he backed off it Peter Burke was the one who was in line to take over as Minister for Justice, but ultimately he didn't go for it.
Now, we understand, Fionnuala, that he's being mentored by Big Phil Hogan. Phil, of course, a highly respected and well-regarded heavyweight figure in Brussels when he was commissioner there. He lost his job over Golfgate. I think Leo Varadkar decapitated him. Now, Hogan is a formidable operator still, and I would imagine in Fine Gael politics, his weight is sort of sufficient to be the mentor. Does that matter?
Phil has always been a really good political strategist. Probably.
Yeah, and I thought he was very unlucky to lose that job over Golfgate.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there were things going on in the background there with Varadkar and Coveney at the time as well.
Right.
And there was people dithering about whether somebody else wanted the job, and that didn't come to pass. But so Phil Hogan, if you go back, the last four Fine Gael Taoiseach can point to Phil Hogan and say, well, he played a significant role. He was part of the team with John Bruton back in 94 that fended off a leadership heave, and he becomes Taoiseach later on that year. It was Ivan Yates and Michael Lowry who were in charge on that occasion. Phil was very much the apprentice in that gang. 2010, he masterminds the end of Kenny fight back against the heave launched by Richard Bruton. He was a bit more privately advising Leo Varadkar back in 2017 on strategy around his leadership bid at that particular point in time. And Leo Varadkar was quite happy then to reappoint him as commissioner in 2019. I wouldn't suggest any quid pro quo there. I'm just pointing out those events. And now, in recent times, he has been advising Simon Harris on political strategy. He's not going to be part of the team. He's often not based in Ireland. He's often based in Brussels and London. But I think he's somebody who's there. So Simon Harris, although he is young, he does take advice from kind of senior figures who would be in the party framework, such as Francis Fitzgerald and such as Phil Hogan. He takes on board what they would advise him. And there are other former ministers within the party who would offer counsel to him. Some of them, you know, you'd kind of wonder why do these people think you should take their advice given the manner in which they've behaved themselves over the years. There are others who wouldn't be afraid to have a word in his ear, and he would take it on board. And that probably came into play in the cabinet reshuffle. We saw that as well. There were strategic decisions that he took there.
Now, the Fine Gael party doesn't appear to be in great shape, Fionnuala. I think 11 or 12, possibly, TDs in that party have said they're not running again for office. They got a bad election result last time, even though Pascal Donoghue was the director of elections, and I think he took the blame for that, although, of course, his record in the finance area is much more important and much more impressive. Is this a party with a real problem, given the number of TDs who won't run next time?
Yeah, so I think the official count is 11, but we're expecting several more. We're expecting Leo Varadkar to join that list, Simon Coveney to join that list. There's another TD who's out on sick leave at the moment, and unfortunately nobody expects that he is going to be back to run in the next general election. So I'd make that at least three, and there could be others. So at least a third of their TDs at this stage have either, you know, indicated they won't be running or said they won't be running, and none of them are for turning. It would appear that, you know, Simon Harris.
Does that constitute a crisis? You know,
it does. I mean, it certainly constitutes, well, a crisis or an opportunity, depending on where you look. So, Brendan Griffin, young guy, like only in his 40s, I think, early 40s.
He was impressive in the Public Accounts Committee.
He was good in the Public Accounts Committee. Yeah, he served as a junior minister before he announced he won't run the next election. That was a bit of a shock. Simon Harris tried to convince him to change his mind, and I think there was an offer of a ministerial portfolio of some sort on the table. How big it was and that is not clear. But he said no, he's sticking to his decision. And they don't really have anybody to replace him down in Kerry. They have a new candidate running in Tralee in the general, in the local elections, who may or may not get elected, but you're kind of going, that's not an ideal situation to be in. So they're going to struggle there. And at the moment, they're effectively giving that seat up at the next general election. But then, you know, you go up to Laois, Charlie Flanagan, second generation Fine Gael royalty again. But he's retiring, but there's actually a ready-made replacement there. Thomasina Connell, she's a councillor, existing councillor. She's actually was on a general election ticket before. She served as mayor. She's a local solicitor. She's based in Port Laois. So she's got an awful lot going for her. And I don't really see that as long as, you know, her campaign is run properly, there's no reason she can't ably and amply and absolutely slot into to that seat. So as you go around the country, I was looking at all this last weekend, there were some places where you go, yeah, not that big a crisis. Other places where you're kind of going, yeah, they'll be okay there. And then there's other places like Kerry and Donegal where you're kind of going, yeah, this isn't good. Nonetheless, there is a point. Big names going off the ticket are going to cause you a problem. Their cachet alone will bring votes with them. So there'll be a big scramble down in Cork when Simon Coveney announces he is departing, because there's a number of people who want to get on the ticket there. Nobody has that sort of name recognition. So it'll be the difference between Fine Gael holding on to that seat. Yeah, they should be able to hold on to it, but they won't be challenging for a second seat there as a result of Simon Coveney's departure. Likewise with Leo Varadkar, they should be able to get a replacement there. They should be able to run the campaign right. They should be able to hold on to the seat, but it's not guaranteed. So the loss of big established names in politics, it is going to be tough, but not, I wouldn't say every case is a disaster.
Just let me ask you a question. I'm not sure of circumstances. Sinn Féin were complaining, Mary Lou MacDonald in particular, about the fact that he didn't take questions as Taoiseach from Dáil deputies. Now, I'm not sure there was a designated question time, but he chose instead to send a message, which RTE showed on TikTok.
Yeah.
Now, that seems to me, as a way of communicating from our Taoiseach, questionable.
I'd go further. I'd call it wholly disrespectful to the National Parliament, to be put it plainly. Yeah, there was the battle of the social media heads there. As you know, Sinn Féin as an entity is superb on social media.
Yes.
They've got a massive reach. So Mary Lou puts out a video saying, your man hasn't showed up in the Dáil. He's now the Taoiseach and he's gone off. Thinks he doesn't have to turn up here. And then Simon Harris, who himself has a massive reach as a politician on social media, follows up with his own video pointing out how busy he is and all the meetings he's chaired and all the people he's spoken to, Zelensky and Sunak and other leaders on the phones. So he's fierce busy altogether. But you look at it, since March the 5th, so we're on 5 weeks ago now, the Taoiseach of any sort has been in the Dáil answering questions once.
Yes.
In that time, Leo Varadkar on March the 20th, which was the day he stood down as announced he was standing down as Taoiseach and Fine Gael leader. So, accountability is actually important. I don't see any reason why the Dáil schedule could not have been arranged to facilitate. If there was a clash at the particular time of day that leaders' questions normally happens on a Wednesday, then it could have been rearranged to some other time to facilitate that. So we'll be waiting another week for Simon Harris to make his debut on Leaders' Questions in the Dáil. It's not a very satisfactory situation. And I think Mary Lou MacDonald raises a very valid point here.
Yes, and I mean, direct messaging via TikTok is going to leave a lot of people out, isn't it?
Well, it is, but that's the way he's chosen to handle a situation like this. He has to realise as well that everything he does now is going to be parsed, analysed, scrutinised.
Yes.
He's not an obscure cabinet member anymore in a down the table ministerial portfolio. You know, he's in he's back up, way up at the top of the league now. So everything he does is going to be analyzed as a result.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Let me ask you about the dynamics between Micheál Martin Tánaiste, the leader of Fianna Fáil, Minister for Foreign Affairs, and Eamon Ryan, the leader of the Green Party, and of course pushing the Green agenda as hard as he can. That chemistry is vital, is it not, to establish trust? I mean, they've only a year to go, but to keep a three-party coalition functioning with coherent policies, you need to respect your partners and you need to be mindful, do you not? This is raw politics, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that they don't know him. They've served at the cabinet table with him for the last 4 years, so they know exactly who he is. I mean, he was a very prominent figure during the early phases of COVID-19. He went into a department that was created by Micheál at Micheál Martin's behest. He wanted a minister for further education to kind of future-proof the country, the society, the economy. I'm not quite clear Simon Harris matched up to that vision that Micheál Martin had there. But it is now there is a very different dynamic, and he has been meeting with the other two party leaders since his elevation to Fine Gael leader. Obviously now as Taoiseach, he chairs the cabinet. There is an element of distrust within Fianna Fáil, there's no question about it, about towards Simon Harris, just as there was in Fine Gael all this time, about what's this guy's agenda. Now there was that feeling at times with me with Leo Varadkar as well, when Leo was tarnished. He seemed to be trying to undermine Micheál Martin at various different times. So there's obviously going to be nervousness if you've got a new party leader who's talking about, well, I want to focus on my party's core values. Well, then the other party leaders are obviously going to look at that situation and go, well, what does that mean for the stability of the government? It's significant, though. There is no revision of the programme for government here. There's been no changes of portfolios. There's been minimal enough cabinet changes. So any thing that Simon Harris does from here on is going to be within the parameters of what has been set out.
Yes.
Within the program for government already. He's not getting the finance portfolio back. He's not getting the Department of Agriculture or anything like that. So he's quite limited in that regard. He has said he wants the government to see out its full term. So that means a general election in February/March of next year. There's going to be suspicion that, well, will he pull the plug though after the budget in September, because that's still in his gift. But that was there with Varadkar as well. I don't really think that's going to change. I mean, that can happen at any time. So there's probably been an element of reassurance. He's been, I hear, trying to reassure Fianna Fáil and the Green Party that he is an honest broker. We'll just have to see how the relationship plays out. The interesting thing, I suppose, to give us an indication of how he thinks and how this impacts upon government, there was due to be a referendum on the same day as the local European elections. And that was on the really sexy topic of the EU Patents Court. And what is that? It basically means if you invent something, you can get a trademark on it across the whole of the EU rather than having to go around to all 27 countries and register it there. And if somebody breaches it, then you'd have to go back to each one of those 27 countries. So it's just a slimlining process. Everybody has agreed that something like this would be good for businesses, big and small, and inventors. And it's important in a country like Ireland with a small burgeoning startup industry sector, that you would see this kind of thing being put in place. Even Sinn Féin, which opposes everything from an EU referendum perspective, was speaking positively about this initiative. That's now benched. And basically, Simon Harris has come along and said, why would we run this referendum now? We're just after getting kicked around the place in two other referenda, which seemed like slam dunks. Let's back off it. Let's park it. And I think it's this initiative to postpone a referendum, which they'd already announced, seems clearly to have come from Simon Harris rather than the other two leaders. It's coming from, it's a Department of Enterprise initiative there, the department in control of this. That's a Fine Gael minister. The Taoiseach is a Fine Gael Taoiseach. So that will probably give them an indication that he's more politically adept than they were used to dealing with Varadkar.
Yeah, just final point, and you've mentioned it, is the biggest power he's got, or one of them, the ability to choose the timing of the next general election.
Yeah, and you know, he'll be watching that. I mean, I'm not expecting that to happen anytime soon. I mean, I think it's quite clear with the local European elections coming up, he'll be watching the opinion polls as well to see, is there a Harris bounce? And the initial poll that was going...
what do you think, Phil?
Yeah, like it's hard. Ultimately, he's trying to repackage, old wine in a new bottle. It's still the same wine. They're reaching... I mean, I think it was Simon Coveney was talking last week about how Fine Gael are in their record third term, and they'd be going for an even bigger record of a fourth term, and he was kind of praising this notion, where everybody else would be aghast at this concept that a party would just be there. But, you know, Frank Flannery, Phil Hogan, who we previously mentioned, did say back in around the 2011 period that the challenge for Fine Gael was not getting into government once. It was to kind of come the natural party of government. There is a point at which you hit where you're kind of going, you get a bit tired, lads, you're kind of running out of ideas here. Would you be better off within opposition? I don't think that's in Mr. Harris's plan. And also what we are seeing over the course of the last week is that he does have his mind towards the general election in terms of the selections that he is making around the cabinet and ministerial portfolios. So he didn't put in Jennifer Carroll McNeill into the cabinet, but he did point her to a boosted up European Affairs Ministry, which is based in his department, because he sees her as somebody who will play an important role in their campaign. However, there was a suggestion he doesn't want her to play too important a role within Fine Gael, or people might get ideas that, well, like, why do we need this guy? There's somebody new there. So he is very much somebody who I don't think he sees himself as kind of a caretaker Fine Gael leader.
No.
Carried him through to the next general election, and sure, if they go into opposition then sure somebody new will take over. No, he'll be staying as Fine Gael leader one way or another.
Okay, Finan, we're very grateful to you for joining us. I understand Finan Sheehan is Ireland editor of Independent Newspapers, and we're very grateful to him, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.